Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to go within to find your true self and your life's destiny. I am most delighted to welcome Blake D. Bauer, an internationally recognized author, counselor, and alternative medicine practitioner. His best-selling book, You Were Born Not to Suffer, and his work focus on loving yourself unconditionally as the key to healing yourself, fulfilling your life purpose, and realizing your full potential while also realizing your true nature and your reason for living. Hello, Blake, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me.
Blake, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect, my guests and I explore the inner world of being as we try to balance our spiritual and physical world realities. We offer methodologies and show actual triumphs over the many challenging conditions where fear and limitations, social programming, and childhood patterns have been recognized, transcended, and the best version of each individual is allowed to surface, showing courage, hope, and trust that life is indeed a great gift to be appreciated and lived well. In today's episode, Blake Bauer will share ideas relating to various forms of meditation, Qigong, and energy medicine, as his training includes traditional Chinese medicine, nutritional and herbal healing, psychology, past life regression, hypnosis, and other forms of traditional and alternative medicine. Blake, I always love to ask my guests to think back. Take a moment to step out of yourself right now and think back to your childhood and remember a person, place, experience, or value that was important to you then and which may have shown you or guided you or others around you to see your life path or, you know, values you would embrace as an adult. What comes to mind?
Well, you know, I think as a child I saw so much pain and suffering in my family members, and deep down in my heart, I always had this knowing that life wasn't meant to be so painful. So, you know, in my family and in so many families, you know, we live with this feeling and not even often a belief that we're aware of, but that life is suffering, like the Buddha taught, and that, you know, life is hard and that's the only way it can be, and there can't be freedom from that suffering. And in my heart, and I believe deep down in everybody's heart, there's this knowing that we didn't come here to suffer and we came here to enjoy the miracle of being in a body and being able to think and feel and love and, you know, touch and taste and smell and all those things. But for most of us, you know, there's not a really great guide book or good examples in the world of how to live in a way where we're not constantly in pain or creating more pain for ourselves and other people. And so instinctually as a child, I knew in my heart that this was the case, but there was so much suffering around me.
Absolutely.
And I definitely got lost in that myself, and also, you know, got lost in numbing out and running from the pain and using drugs and alcohol and food to alleviate my suffering, which only created more suffering. So that's
absolutely
what comes to mind.
Like energy draws like energy, and if we get ourselves stuck in a pattern, we keep drawing that to ourselves. But you see, my first book is Life is No Coincidence, and it probably was not a coincidence that I said that, because you see, you and I know that we meet many, many people who are suffering, and there's much suffering going on right now in the world, but that's not how it's supposed to be. We come into this world as beautiful souls who have the personal power, and when in alignment to our life plan and to spirit and to the values of universal energy, we live a joyful, peaceful, honorable life, loving life. But the physical world offers so many challenges that sometimes we get caught up in other people's expectations and problems and get thrown off course. But I'd like to read something you wrote that just reflected what we were talking about. And you wrote, "As I am sure you can relate, I saw a great deal of suffering as a child. In fact, I watched many of my own family members unintentionally destroy themselves, their lives, and their loved ones. I saw a lot of sadness, anger, and pain in the eyes of those around me. I saw people who didn't smile nearly as much as they would cry. I saw people who weren't happy or satisfied with their jobs, their relationships, or the lives they had created. And the problem is the attitude that people have and the expectations, and that's why very often they're not seeing the beauty in their life, the beauty in the people around them, and the beauty in themselves. So that's what you realized as a child. And I have found many of the people I interview have had childhoods that were difficult because they were more sensitive souls. Many of them were born to be teachers or healers and to help people discover the reality of their dual nature or their physical and spiritual life, which comes together in unity and oneness. So it was necessary for you and I to begin our life that way and to notice that people were hurting. They were in pain, and we knew it wasn't right. So let's go on to fast forward to your teenage years and how that time affected your future goals and work, because I know you were a football team captain, and I know that you started off having certain talents, but something threw you off. So tell us about that.
Well, Cheryl, when I was a teenager, I just got heavily addicted to drugs and alcohol. It was a way of surviving socially for me and fitting in and seeking approval and acceptance, but it also became a way of numbing my very intense and real psychological and emotional pain that I didn't know how to talk about. So by the time I was 18 years old, I had been arrested a number of times for drug possession, and eventually I got a DUI where I was driving home in the middle of the night and fell asleep right in front of train tracks in the middle of the night, and I woke up to police knocking on the window, and I had been drinking and popping pills and smoking marijuana all night, and I was arrested and got a DUI, and at that time I was playing football in high school and was very good and had offers to play in college. So that was a very big part of my life. And at that time, I got kicked off the team as a result of this DUI, which was my final strike. And after that period, I basically hit rock bottom because I pushed away and sabotaged everything that I cared about, everything that I loved, and everything that I identified with. So who I believed myself to be, who I thought Blake was, I basically shattered that life and that lifestyle. And what was left was just a very insecure, tortured, anxious, confused, hurting soul.
Like most teenagers and young adults. Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I had just done myself a lot of harm and hurt the people around me unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And, didn't love myself, didn't feel very good about myself, and then found myself obviously under so much pressure as to what am I going to do with my life, and am I going to study, am I going to work, what am I going to do to make a living? And at the same time, I couldn't even think straight because I would wake up every morning tortured by hundreds of thoughts, tortured by anxiety and insecurity and feeling depressed and alone, and then I'm supposed to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life all at the same time. And so it was a really difficult period.
Blake, that's just because you were a gifted empath, sensitive to energy and to other people's pains and emotions, and that's what led you into alternative healing. But you wrote something that expresses what was happening with you at that time. And you wrote, "It has been liberating for me and thousands of people like me to understand that underlying all addiction, depression, and illness, there is simply unresolved mental and emotional pain, all of which is connected to the fact that we have never learned how to love and care for ourselves practically day to day." And it's not only that, it's also the fact that you had a more sensitive nature and you had certain spiritual gifts that had to be developed, and you had to go through some of the pain and trauma in your childhood so you could get there. So it's quite simply the truth that the sense of freedom and a child's awe of life and high level of happiness and self-love is hammered. It's hammered away at and altered by the fears of people in our early life who create a divided state of reality. And the imagination and hope of the child, which should soar freely above the restraints of the physical world, is torn down and bombarded by the reality of what their parents or teachers deem best for them. And this happens to all of us. There's no one on the planet who's not going to experience that as a child, having bit by bit of their soul just taken away, and their joy and their enthusiasm and fear put into them. So that's what we're talking about. And for those people listening today, there is no one of the 7.5 billion people on the planet who has not experienced in their childhood the pain of rejection or abandonment or the fear of not being enough or being perfect to please others, because that is the human state. That is our personality, our ego talking. But our soul knows that's not the reality of who we are. So let's go on to something. You come from Chicago, and Chicago has been in the news quite often recently, although over the last couple of years, politically talking, and there seemed to be a lot of division and violence there. Why do you think that's happening so much? It's in the country, but it's especially prevalent there. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, Cheryl, I think the issue is the same issue that we're all struggling with, which is that unhealthy and toxic relationship that we have with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then that's the way we tend to relate to other people, is that inner dynamic is mirrored in how we treat other people. So if we're aggressive and critical and hard on ourselves, then we tend to be aggressive and critical and hard on other people. And so I think what you see happening here in Chicago that might get highlighted by the media is really going on everywhere. And I am a firm, my view and my approach has always been to take responsibility as much as we can for the inner world. And through doing that, we then create what we want to create in the outer world. So rather than reacting and hurting somebody, we cultivate the self-awareness and the self-discipline not to react and cause harm, even if we're hurting. And that's really where the mastery is, and that's really where the solutions lie, not in trying to force other people to be a certain way or fix everybody. The key is, you know, right, to be able to liberate ourselves. So we're an embodiment of peace and compassion and love, and some people might judge that as impractical, but I think that's just a misunderstanding, because it really is the most practical thing that you do. It's the dynamics that cause a person to use a gun and pull a trigger or use a knife or beat somebody up are really just hurt and anger that they don't know how to deal with inside of them, that's been bottling up for years, and then all of a sudden something pushes them over the edge, or, you know, that's their way of surviving in the world. But the deeper issues are these emotional and mental wounds that we haven't addressed and we haven't understood how to address.
Absolutely. And you just started to answer the next question, which was what inspired you to write the book and why you chose the title, You Were Not Born to Suffer. And that is the problem. in our communities, and the divisiveness between the races and the genders and the politics. Exactly that. People are reacting because they have no awareness of their inner soul potential and ability to rise above all this, and the fear and the pain that they have from their beginnings, whether it's economic or whether it's social, or you know, they're not the greatest athlete, whatever it is that they perceive to be what they're missing. They're really not missing anything at all. Every soul is born with exactly what they need to have a good life and to fulfill their purpose and destiny. They just don't know it because they don't right. teach that in school. So that's what inspired you to write this book, and you just answered that question for everybody out there listening, Lee, so well, because this is so important to change the course of history, to begin individually with each person. And I often say to clients or friends that as spiritual beings with free will, having a physical life every day is an opportunity to make choices. Happiness or suffering is only a choice. So accepting life and yourself and others without all these negative emotions, these lower emotional feelings such as anger and blame and jealousy, is the way to find peace and draw the best life experience. In my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote, I believe that a well-balanced, healthy lifestyle requires being surrounded by supportive people and situations that enhance our positive thinking and produce positive results in our endeavors. Even when some forces may disrupt the flow of events, if we are working within the framework of spiritual or higher values, our choices will be wiser, our recovery from any tragedy will be faster, and we will have a chance for a better outcome and a more lasting impact on others. So that's what we were just talking about. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
We want to impact these communities where people are in such pain. And the way to do it is teaching them exactly that they are valuable, viable, important entities who deserve to have love, to have compassion, and to be treated well, and to treat people to do that without judgment and so much blame. And you can start to tell us, Blake, why is learning to love ourselves so important? We are discussing that, and let our people out there know exactly why you think it's so important.
Well, so Cheryl, you know, in my quest to heal myself and figure out the purpose of my life, you know, I went to 5 universities, very well-respected universities. I studied with spiritual masters from all over the world. I did, you know, dozens of professional trainings and workshops. And in the end, I realized that all disease and all depression and all of our problems in life come back to us never learning how to love ourselves as children. So all these things that I needed to understand in my own healing and growth eventually showed me logically and biologically how disease actually develops in the body as a result of living in fear and internalizing your true emotions, or another way of saying that is rejecting your true self. And over time, it causes blockages in the flow of energy and blood in the body. It weakens your immune system. It weakens your digestive system. It leads you to not take good care of yourself with your lifestyle choices. And for me, I was desperately seeking healing and peace and salvation or freedom. And when I eventually realized that the only source of love and healing that I could ever find that would be lasting and sustainable was going to actually come from completely come from the inside out, and not from a teacher, not from a book, not from some kind of practitioner, that even though I had searched the entire world, you know, turned over every stone looking for what I was looking for, I realized that I ended up right back with myself, and everything I had studied and learned was basically teaching me what it meant to love myself unconditionally and practically every day. So how to value myself and believe in myself and trust myself and not betray myself and not reject myself.
And to become aware and observe your thoughts, because our thoughts are actually projecting our reality and manifesting what we are doing in our life. And our body responds to our thoughts and our fears and our anguish and can manifest in disease.
And in my experience, you know, most of our crazy thinking is a symptom of repressed emotions. So both the psychological suffering and the emotional pain are all the result of us never learning how to love ourselves. And so I'm coming from a background of years and years of intense meditation practice and training my mind. And I realized that all the meditation I did for many years, every day for many years, was basically strengthening and clarifying my mind to help me be present enough and aware enough to actually heal the damage I had done from never learning how to love myself, and then learn how to love myself every day in every situation and relationship. And that really comes down to being honest and vulnerable mm-hmm. about your true feelings in every situation, and then acting in alignment with that, which is the hardest thing to do, because then we come face to face with our fears of upsetting people or not pleasing them, as you said, or losing love or approval or attention or financial support. And then we have to face the guilt we feel or the shame we feel for feeling the way we do, or not feeling worthy of being happy.
And most of those emotions are not real anyhow. They're just illusions of our ego or physical life, because the reality is that within us, the universe is within us, and we are within the universe, and the oneness and totality of everyone is within us. So we see, we are the best of ourselves, and we're sometimes our own worst enemy also. And you learned that, and once you learn that, you're free. You're free of all the restrictions of the world, and you can actually know the magnificent being that you are. And yes, sometimes situations will come in that will be challenging once again, and you might have to observe it, and then how can I say, you might observe it, but you don't have to get stuck in it, and you don't have to react the same way, and you don't have to embrace it. You can make another choice to be in peace and harmony and balance, and that takes the mind and the heart working together, our thoughts and our energy working together creatively, so we can be the wonderful beings that we are. Now, some people might say that loving yourself is kind of selfish.
But the truth is that everybody's selfish, and nobody is not selfish. But where the misperception lies, Cheryl, is that most people are unhealthy in their selfishness.
That's
and
the
self-love,
key. Okay.
Yes. And self-love is a healthy form of selfishness. And most of us learned what's a very self-destructive form of selfishness, which is why it gives self-love a bad reputation. But if you actually dissect anybody's motives, you actually start to find that most people are actually selfish creatures, and that actually there's nothing wrong with that. Excuse me. And two, nature was actually designed that way to thrive. Like, if you think about an apple tree, the apple tree selfishly, you know, puts its roots into the ground. It takes what it needs, you know, water and nutrients from the earth. It takes sunlight from the sun. It takes carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and it gives us oxygen, and it gives us apples, and it gives us shade and wood for fire. So through selfishly attending to what it needs to grow fully and be strong, the cup overflows and it has so much to give us. So we all know what it's like to put ourselves last and keep in our feelings and not take care of ourselves, and then we end up resentful and angry and tired and depressed and sick, and we think, how did we get here? And then, you know, when we give, what we're giving, you know, has that tinge of resentment or manipulation, or we're giving because we want to get something back from other people. And that's not really selfless. That's a masked false form of giving, of selflessness. So a lot of us have convinced ourselves that we're being selfless. But the truth is, if we're living in fear and not doing what we want to do and not being honest, we're actually selfishly protecting ourselves. And that's still selfish. And it's an unhealthy form of selfishness, which most of us are trapped in because we never learned the healthy form. And that's because we're plagued by this fear and this guilt. But Cheryl, I want to say, you know, it's very real for you know, most people. And it's very real for me and has been really real for me, and I'm sure for you, when it does surface.
Oh, yes,
and it does take over.
It comes in. You, sure.
Yes. And so the key, you know, because we have a short time for everybody listening, the key is that even when you feel guilty and even when you're scared, to be honest about your feelings, to go after what you want and need, and act in alignment with that all the time, the key to healing the fear and the guilt is actually to be honest with your words and your actions no matter what. And through doing that, you heal the fear and you heal the guilt. There's actually no other way to heal it than except to go through it. And that's really where you cultivate the courage and the strength to live a life that's true to you, and to be healthy and happy, and make the most of this miracle of today and tomorrow, because you never know when your last day or last breath is going to come. So instead of living a lie, we have to find the courage to live our truth, even if we're afraid and even if we feel guilty.
And that's why they say live in the moment. Don't worry about the past or the future. But you wrote, and this is very lovely, ultimately, each day our commitment to ourselves and our faith in life are tested merely to show us the fear that still remains alive within us, so we can transform it, heal it, and come to love ourselves and our lives more deeply. This process continually reveals the inner strength that we're all born with, to fearlessly love, honor, and value ourselves in every moment, situation, and relationship, and in so doing, create the liberated, joyful, and fulfilling life that we're all destined and entitled to live. So then we choose not to suffer, but to live in joy. And I would like to thank you, Blake D. Bauer, author of You Were Not Born to Suffer, for sharing your truthful and courageous journey of self-discovery, and to the years and dedication of your exploration into the natural order of self-healing by merging traditional and alternative methods for a holistic approach to mind, body, and spiritual wellness. For more information and to purchase this life-affecting book, go to unconditional-selflove.com. Okay, in summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Blake and I hope we have touched your hearts, minds, and souls, helping you remember that a physical life offers challenges only to guide us and move us towards our natural birthright or normal state of being, which most definitely includes happiness and the means for a life worthy of introspective viewing of possibilities for manifesting our expressive voice of creation and love on a world that is beautiful and ever evolving, but also to see it in a way that requires an individual to reclaim their childhood love of life and to remember what is best for their time on this planet. It means reviewing your perceptions and mind-based reality or personality, which is that of the world, and then delving into your core or source of existence, which is your greatest ally and your soul friend. In other words, Blake and I would ask you to open your minds and hearts to creating peace, success, love, cooperation, and happiness, while having each day begin with hope as we search for adventure and love, as you explore yourself, new possibilities for improvement, and the wondrous world around you and within. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you, as always, to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and listen to authors and leaders in the field of science, spirituality, alternative and traditional medicine, psychology, the arts, and music, explore ways for self-actualization, always moving forward, for a better understanding of self and our world communities. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.